Blog Talk Radio.
I'm talking about Motown Maurice right down here in the state of Florida.
And we've got Motown Maurice of the Motown Maurice Show.
I want to introduce you to Motown Maurice.
We have special, special, special guest, Motown Maurice.
Motown Maurice.
Speaking of crazy, we have Motown Maurice,
a man who is trying to put Tampa on the map for late night television.
He is not the next Arsenio Hall. He is the first Motown Maurice.
For those of you who haven't had a chance to experience Motown Maurice,
you have to understand he is very persistent.
And now he has transitioned
from Tampa to Los Angeles, California.
He's now in Los Angeles.
Continuing his pursuit of the quest of a late night talk show host.
Keep an eye on Motown.
Absolutely.
Keep an eye on that gentleman. One day this man is going to be the new face of late night.
Motown, we love you.
Motown Maurice, are you on the line?
And now, your host, Motown Maurice.
Yes, thank you. Please be seated. What a wonderful, wonderful introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, it is I, Motown Maurice, holding it down Wednesday, September 14, 2011, and we are back on the Hustle and Shuffle Hollywood Edition. I'm so excited. Things in my life have been going great. If you want to find out, please check me out on my blog, MotownMaurice.com, the quest of a late-night talk show host. But as usual, the show is not about me. This show is about the inspiring and encouraging and ambitious artists and actors who are out here in Hollywood doing their thing. And I have a very, very inspiring guest that I am so excited to interview today. My guest today on the show, I actually met her Thursday, March 17th, to be exact. It was my first day in the intermediate advanced class of Life Book Acting at the Life Book Playhouse, 665 Heliotrope, Los Angeles, California. And I sat there new to the class, and then the class began, and the curtains opened. And there she was, standing there, and she began to sing to me. Come on, babe, why don't we paint the town with all that jet? I'm going to rouge my knees and roll my stockings down with all that jet. She was talking to me, I'm telling you. Okay, all right. Well, there's 25 other people in the theater, so maybe she wasn't just talking directly to me, but the way she performed and sang and danced at the same time, she was speaking to my soul, and I was just mesmerized by her talent. Since then, we've interacted, we've done scenes together, I've even auditioned for her film that we're going to be talking about right now. As you can see, I'm just excited, and I can talk about her forever, but I'm not going to hold you up any longer in this introduction. Please, please put your heads together for the wonderful, the talented, the actor, the producer, and director, Miss Lena Carter.
Hey! That was great. Wow. Thank you.
Linda, how are you doing?
I am wonderful, Motown. Thank you. Thank you. It's so funny that you said that was the first time that you saw me. I'm like, wow,
yes.
that's an intro for sure.
It sure was. It was the first time. And wow, I mean, I didn't blink that whole performance. I stood there just wowed. I was like, yo, this girl had talent. And I've seen you do so many performances in that class. We've done scenes together. Oh, man, you're so meticulous. You're on point, you know. And I saw the directing ability in you because you were very particular about how we stage and how we do things. And then I'm now seeing it in your film, and it's phenomenal. I mean, it's just amazing.
Thank
you. And I must say, Lena, I must say, since, you know, as I said in the introduction, I had a chance to audition for the film, and I wasn't cast. And since the point of time where I wasn't cast, if I gave you any mean looks, I want to apologize for that. You know, I want to apologize because after watching the film, I understand exactly why I wasn't cast. I got to go back to the drawing board. I got to.
Wow.
I understand, so I apologize.
Well, thank you for that, but you never gave me any mean looks at all, Motown. You were the consummate professional. We talked about it. We talked a lot about the project, and like I said, I was really, really impressed with the work that you did. It was it blew me away and just wasn't quite what we were looking for this project. So thank you, though. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm just honored to be a part of it. So I know everybody who's listening right now wants to know exactly what this project is we're talking about. Well, it's The Hunger Games, and you just did a fan film, and it is phenomenal. I'm so mad I missed the screening. My apologies. My life has just been crazy. But it is amazing. It's amazing. The quality is great. Your acting is great. So much to talk about. I got to stop talking because you see I'm so excited. Please, what is The Hunger Games and how were you introduced to it?
Okay. Well, The Hunger Games is a book trilogy that's written by Suzanne Collins. Actually, today marks the third anniversary of its release date. It was released September 14, 2008. The Hunger Games take place in a future. In the future, the United States doesn't exist anymore. It's a country called Pan Am, and it's ruled by a capital in 13 districts. And basically, each district is responsible for a different industry, lumber and paper, coal, fishing, and they're very poor communities, and all the fruits of their labor go to support the people in the capital, so they don't really get to utilize any of their own resources. So as a result, the people, they revolt. They have a revolution, and they lose. And as punishment, the capital totally obliterates District 13, blows it off the face of the planet, and they institute something called the Hunger Games, which is an annual game where two tributes, a boy and a girl from each district, age 12 to 18, have to fight to the death in this gladiator-style competition where there's only one victor that survives. So it's pretty brutal. It's pretty violent. It serves twofold. It's all these districts have to supply their children, and it's made out to be that it's an honor that you're sending your children to death. So the capital is able to keep their finger on everybody and say, we control you. We can even make you send your children off to die. But it also serves to keep all the districts distrustful of one another so they never bond together to have another revolution because they see all these other districts killing off their own children. So it's pretty intense. And the first book follows.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and it's powerful. A friend of mine introduced me to the novels last summer, and I just fell in love. I hadn't read a book series in so long that just utterly moved me, that I was so invested in these characters and just emotionally tied, emotionally crying, just overwhelmed with what was going on in these stories. So it was a powerful thing for me, and I had this idea. I knew they were going to be making these books into films. I didn't at first. I thought
you
I was so moved by it. we talked a little bit about it. I was so moved by it that I wanted to buy the rights for the books. I'm like, these books have to be made in films, and I don't know how I'm going to get the money. I'm going to find a way to get the money because this has to be done. And it was after I did a little bit of research that I found out that Nina Jacobson and Color Force had already bought the rights, and they were going to be producing it with Lionsgate. They didn't have the director attached at that point, so it was still at the very beginning stages.
It's so funny you say that because, you know, you've been telling me about The Hunger Games for a while, and, you know, I'm of course, looking forward to it. And, you know me, I do my casual movies, my matinee once a month or, you know, every now and then. Maybe about a month ago, I went to go see Kung Fu Panda 2, all excited. As I'm walking by, I see a poster, Hunger Games. I'm like, what? Little project, is this it? I'm like, I'm looking for your name and everything, and then I'm serious. I'm like, wait a second. I had a chance to be a part of this. So you know, but I understand that you made an adaptation from the book and this actual movie that's coming out, which is
correct.
Amazing. You know, and I must warn all the viewers real quick that, yes, it is a little, you know, it's got some blood. It's a little gory.
Yeah.
I thought I was watching Spartacus at first. I was like, oh.
It is a bit violent. It is a bit violent because the books, it's interesting because the books are young adult books. They're made for, you know, young teens, but she doesn't pull her punches as far as the violence is concerned. But
yeah.
Yes, this film that we did, it's based on one of the characters that appears in the second book, Catching Fire. Her name is Johanna Mason. And I love that woman. She's a killer. She's raised in a district that specializes in lumber and paper, so she's been able to swing an axe since she's been old enough to hold one. And she won her games by pretending to be this weakling, pretending to be non-threatening, when she really is just this killer who has no fear. So it was fun adapting and writing those parts of the script to bring that part of her story to life.
Wow, this is exciting. I got like two more questions for you, and I know you got your co-founder of Wellwood Productions, your production company. I believe she's on the line because somebody's on the line, so hold on 1 second. So,
all right.
But what I want to ask you is, you said, I read that you found like a connection with Johanna Mason. You found a connection in your own personality. Like, what part of your personality connects with her? Is it that you're talking about?
When I read the books, and it's interesting because I don't want to do a spoiler for any of your listeners that haven't read the books at all, but she goes through an amazing journey. And I know what it's like to have overcome heartbreak, to overcome having been knocked down and not knowing if you can get up again, but having to do that because you have no choice. I knew that she's this strong, outspoken, kind of harsh individual on the outside, but we all know, especially being actors, when you're breaking down a script, when you're breaking down a character, when you're breaking down a role, that's not who they are underneath. They're presenting that to protect themselves. And it's usually just the opposite that's going on underneath. And I really responded to that. I really recognized what was going on there. And I wanted to tell that story.
Oh, man. And I saw and I felt it and I experienced it myself online. Y'all have to check it out on YouTube. It's amazing. And you told me yourself, I could just imagine, everybody knows you're an actor, but this was like a real good, you know, portion of your skills, of what you can display, and everybody, I'm assuming, is just like, didn't know. It's like, I didn't know. You got a little bit of that, huh?
Yeah, definitely at the screening. Because, you know, we're in L.A., we're in Hollywood. There's a lot of people in the business at varying stages in their career. And so I invited definitely cast and crew, and I invited some of my friends who have been supportive in this process. And they know I'm an actor, and I've had some experience, but some of them haven't been exposed to a lot of the work that I can do. So when they come in and then they see this, you see their mouths just drop because they're not expecting, number one, this level of professional production. Number two, that level of work. It really, really surprised them, and I love that. I love exceeding people's expectations that way. And it's not a gig. It's not a ha-ha-ha. It's just like, look, I'm glad I was able to show you a different side of me. I'm glad I was able to show you something you weren't expecting, because that's what we're supposed to do.
I have a strong feeling that Johanna Mason would have felt the same way. Am I right or wrong?
I think so.
And without any further ado, I'm going to assume that your partner in crime, co-founder of Wellwood Production, is on the line. So we're going to go ahead and bring her on the line, Miss Sarah Levin. Let's give her a round of applause.
Hello. Thank you, everybody. Hi.
Sarah, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm so glad to have you on the line and to have both of you here to share the story of this whole process, because I can imagine what a process it has been, and the turnaround time just seems so amazing that you were able to get it done through the casting and post-production and completion and screening. please, I'm talking too much. Talk amongst yourselves. Talk about the process.
Well, you know, this project took about a year from start to finish, so
nice.
It's been quite a ride. Well, Linda and I, we met and I recognized kind of a drive in her that I felt myself, and I don't feel like everybody has that kind of push to make your own projects and to explore other aspects of your creativity. But more than that, we both were on the same page as far as we believed that self-producing was essential to our careers. We're both actresses, we're both writers, and we both had similar complaints about how we felt that we were typecast kind of into a corner. So we said, okay, fine, if you don't know where to put me, I'll show you. And that's exactly what we did with this project.
Yeah.
As you saw, yeah?
Yeah, that's definitely, you know, that was what we, I remember us sitting and having that meeting and saying we need to show them what it is that we do.
Yeah. And what we do well, and exactly, I mean, and this is a very, very, very specific example. I mean, Lena's perfect for this part. And I'm so happy to say that end result I'm so proud of us for. And I hope that, you know, the right people see it. And also it kind of showcases other abilities for similar parts. For she would be great in action movies, and she can play those different levels of, you know, of different characters. So I feel like this is a great example of that, and I hope everybody likes it and agrees with me.
Nice. So, I mean, the majority of your careers, both of you, you've maintained the title of an actor. But you had to wear multiple hats just to put on this project. I mean, I know, Lena, you expressed, and I hope you can express a little bit again, about the casting process, and now you're a producer, you're a director. I mean, how is the transition and balancing it all out? And please share.
Well, it's been interesting because I don't think I ever thought about, oh, well, you know, I'm going to act for a while, and then I want to shift into producing and directing. It all came about as a result of having to do this project, because we definitely explored using other directors, but it got to a point that because I conceived the story and I kind of wrote the story, I couldn't give that vision up to anybody else because they didn't know what it was that I wanted to do. So it was kind of had no choice in the matter. If you want to get it done, then you're executive producer and you're director. And we learned a lot. I definitely recommend any actors out there who want to work more, produce your own stuff, man. Because not only are you getting yourself out there, you're learning about the process on the other side. When you're bringing in other actors that you're casting, you see what you do in the room. You see what other people do, and you're like, oh, that's why they keep saying that. That's why they say take direction. That's why they say listen. You know, it's such an eye-opening experience, wouldn't you say, Sarah?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, I mean, not only do you find out that you have talents that you didn't know that you had, but you can use other things that, you know, that you already had in your repertoire from, you know, other things that you've done in your life, you know, and you can bring that to the table. I mean, I've been a writer for just as long as I've been an actor. So I feel like that's an asset that I could bring. Even if I'm not acting in something, I can contribute in that way as well. And, you know, Lena had a very, like she said, she had a very specific vision for what she wanted. And then the end, you know, it just made more sense for her to be the director. And she was right there through the whole editing process as well. So.
Nice. Did any of you, well, Lena, as a guest, as a casting director, did you feel like a sense of power, you know, to be able to choose?
Oh, my God.
No, it wasn't anything like that at all. In fact, I think Sarah and I were huge cheerleaders. I think we were the casting directors that we want to have when we go in the room, because we're actors as well. We want everyone to do well, and I think that's what most actors – it's not that they don't know it, they just don't believe it, that they want you
to get the role. They want you to go in and embody that character in front of us. And we tried to set up an environment where actors felt safe and where they could explore and where they could challenge themselves. Definitely.
Because, you know, not that I'm judgmental or anything, but when I came into casting with you and I saw that you were smiling and you had a pleasant look, I'm like, okay, Lena's doing this all wrong. You're supposed to look mean. You know, she's supposed to look stern. The room is supposed to be cold. I'm like, I wanted to say something. Not that I know how it's supposed to be done, but I've auditioned for enough things to know that you're not supposed to smile as a casting director.
That's so counterproductive, though. I mean, like Linda said, we want you to do well. And there were so many actors who came in and they were so nervous. And, you know, sometimes your nerves get the best of you and, you know, covers mm-hmm. the performance. So we want you to perform and do your best. And we even had a couple actors who said, thank you. This is so much fun. And
yeah.
I feel like they were genuine. You know, they said that I felt so relaxed. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it was my goal to get the best actors that we could get. And in order to do that, I needed them to be on top of their game. So it was my job to make that as easy for them as possible. It was both of our jobs to make that as easy for them as possible. And
Now, Sarah, I got to ask you about the writing process. I'm really interested about that. Like, did you have to do a lot of rewrites when you found the actors? Were there, like, a lot of on-the-spot rewriting or anything like that? Or did you stick to the script mainly?
Well, actually, in this project, Lena did most of the writing.
Yeah,
that is
so true. That is, you did do the initial writing. My apology. Yeah. So now the question is directed to you, Lena.
The process for me, and I know Sarah said that I'm a writer, and it's funny because I still, to a certain extent, don't think of myself as one, though I have written things. But that was mm-hmm. one of the scary processes here was I wrote the script, and then I had to get some feedback on it. So I sent it to some friends of mine that are professional screenwriters and get paid to do it for a living. And here I am, this person who has never really written anything before, sending it to these people that make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year or more, asking mm-hmm. for feedback. So I really had to call deep on my courage to do that. But the positive part about it was there were parts that I loved and there were parts of the script at that time that I didn't think quite worked. And that was the mm-hmm. feedback that I got back, was the parts that I loved, they really, really loved, and the parts that didn't work, they're like, yeah, that needs some work. So it was, you know, sometimes you just got to put yourself out there not knowing what the outcome is going to be. You have to kind of be a bit vulnerable there and mm-hmm. and see what happens. But it was definitely a continual process. I think we went through about six or seven drafts of the script before we finally settled on one that we liked.
Nice. Now, in a few minutes, I'm going to have y'all promote y'all websites and where they can find the video and everything. But as I started to watch your film, I noticed, you know, on the suggestion column that there was a whole bunch of other depictions of the Hunger Games. So it's really, really popular. And, of course, I want your film to do well. So I'm wondering, should we tell all our viewers to put, like, thumbs down on all the other YouTube versions?
No.
Are you sure? Because we can get a few thousand people at least to put thumbs down and everybody thumbs up yours. What do you think?
No.
No, it's definitely
not. So how do you feel
necessary.
About the other? How do you others feel about the other films? Are those like your competition, or how do you feel about the other versions online?
I don't feel that way at all. We definitely had a specific vision, a specific point of view, a specific story. Just because we did our story doesn't make any of the others less valid or less valuable or less good.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
We're not in competition with anybody. You know, I feel that actually ours is quite a different take. I haven't seen one yet that's dealt with Johanna Mason's character. I've seen mostly Katniss videos.
Nice.
Definitely, there's no need to bash anybody else
And that's just bad life philosophy. You don't need to bash other people in order to do
it's not bad. It's just a little thumbs down.
It's like annihilate the competition. No. That's not how we roll.
Oh, man. So please tell me, what is next for Wellwood Productions? I know you have at least 3 projects in pre-production, I believe.
Sarah?
Oh gosh. I mean, yes. I have several things coming here that I've written. But as for what we haven't picked the exact next project yet. But hopefully it'll be something a little comedic. But
yeah,
an equal amount of blood.
Yeah, we have a lot of treatments, and we're just kind of deciding what the next one's going to be so we can work on the script and get moving on pre-production. So
yeah.
It's definitely fun.
Wow. I could just imagine after you've given birth to your first project like that, I mean, it's just, you just want to go back in labor again, don't you?
Absolutely.
It's definitely addictive. Yeah.
Yes, I can just imagine.
Yeah.
Wow, so, oh, man, it's just, I love it. I'm so proud of the both of you. I'm looking forward to so much more. And I hope that we have some independent filmmakers or actors who are just, you know, who want to make that transition listening online, because we have 2 people right here who just did it, and they got it done, period. Didn't wait for nobody, didn't wait for Hollywood. They just got it done, and it's amazing, and I'm looking forward to it catching fire. Now, So now, please spend this next minute or two to just let everybody know about your websites for The Hunger Games, your personal website, all that information so they can contact you.
Well, the Johanna Mason fan film is on YouTube. If you just search The Hunger Games Johanna Mason, it'll pop up. My personal website is www.linnacarter.com. And Sarah?
My personal website is sarahtothe11.com. So sarahtothe11.com.
Excellent. So, hey, this is your opportunity to just say what's on your mind and just express yourself in your final thoughts. Please, both of you.
Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, this process has been an amazing eye-opener, and I would tell anybody out there, filmmakers, writers, actors, directors, people trying to get their foot in the door, just don't take no for an answer. What everybody else says or thinks doesn't matter. It only matters what you think and believe. And if you feel that it's valid, then it is. And go do it.
Amen to that, Sarah.
I think the main thing that I'd like to say is that don't wait for people to hand stuff to you. You know, there's a lot of people out there who think that they're just going to stumble along and something's going to happen. Be proactive. Go out, you know, find somebody who knows something that you don't and pair with them so you both bring different talents to the table and get your project done and make mistakes. Make tons of mistakes. Learn from them. Yeah. I mean, and just, you know, follow what you're passionate about.
And that's what I'm talking about. Chef. This is the true Hollywood story on the Motown Maurice Hustle and Shuffle. Hey, I really, really appreciate this interview. Very inspiring, well-informed. I can't wait to watch
you
again. So very much. Thank you. This is a long time coming because I remember when I first announced that I would be doing my blog talk radio show, and you were like, well, you know, let me get some things going at first. You know, and I thought you just put me off like, everyone else did, but when you got it together, you certainly came through, and now we're making it happen.
Excellent. Yeah. Thank you for the invite, Motown. I appreciate you.
Thank you. So, ladies, you have a beautiful day, and I'm looking forward to a follow-up interview. So y'all keep doing what you're doing, okay?
Wonderful. Thanks, Motown.
Thank you.
No problem. Take care. Be blessed.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. You heard it, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it from Sarah Levin, and the one and only Lena Carter. Beautiful work. I'm so excited about what they have to bring for the future. Please check out the Hunger Games, Johanna Mason on YouTube. Check out their website. Rewind this tape. Rewind the interview. Find the information. This is beautiful. This is Motown Maurice, and I'm closing out on this 14th day of September. Much to look forward to. Trials and tribulations ahead. Right now, I'm heading towards greatness. I don't think I made any sense. Anyway, check out the website. This is Motown Maurice. Be blessed.